We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, today I'm going to present what I believe you will agree are some unusual comparisons. I'm going to present some Bible examples of actual miracles of healing of the sick and the raising of the dead in comparison to some of the modern pretenders of miraculous healings today. You know, today you hear and see advertising on radio and TV, nationally known products, comparing by name and qualities with competitive products. It is called comparative advertising. There isn't anything wrong with that, is there? Well, today, we're going to do some comparing of Bible things with some make-believe claims by men and women that are not Bible things. And we shall compare some by name and other identities. Now, I want you to listen carefully and be honest with yourself and truth. You know, there must be a difference in truth and error. And surely we want to know the truth, don't we? My friends, did you know that today there are new appraisals of truth as well as new devaluations of truth? There are new considerations of moral and spiritual values of life, as well as open and flagrant defiance of true concepts of wholesome and worthwhile values of life. This is true in just about every phase of life, in business and government, in all professions, in the home and in religion. The devil and all his forces of evil are at work full time and overtime to destroy the very foundations of righteousness. But there is still the power of God revealed through truth that finds its way into the hearts of millions of honest and sincere people, regulating their lives, determining the right and the wrong, and affecting destinies of the soul of men. But let me tell you something. A different climate of thinking is apparent on the horizon today. There is a voice being heard saying, "Tell it like it is." There has never been a time in my lifetime when the climate is so favorable for clarent voices to sound forth the truth, and I mean the truth on any subject, in unmistakable terms, affirming truth and exposing error without compromise. In the business world, something is happening today in the field of advertising never before known in the American business industry and history of such. As already suggested, it is called comparative advertising. Firms will advertise their products by name and compare them with the competitors' products by name. For example, in U.S. News and World Report, date of January 12, 1976, there is a full-page advertisement by Ford Motor Company comparing by name some merits and demerits of Chevrolet, Plymouth, Chrysler, and Cadillac to that of the Ford LTD. And again, in U.S. News and World Report of February 23, 1976, that is a full-page ad by Lincoln Mercury, that is the division of Ford Motor Company, comparing Mercury by name, point by point, with Olds 98 and Buick Electra. Constantly on TV and radio, you see and hear almost every kind of nationally known brand of merchandise being manufactured, including automobiles, Continental buses and Greyhound buses, electrical appliances, drugs, deodorants, machinery, drinks, and even toilet tissue, advertised and compared by names, merits and demerits of competitive brands. This is common today. It is accepted today. It is ethical today. In fact, the Federal Trade Commission says that restraint of comparative advertising could be a violation of the FTC Act of March 8, 1976, as reported in U.S. News and World Report. 10 years ago, comparative advertising did not happen. A company engaged in such comparative advertising then would have committed business suicide. But the thinking climate is different today. More and more people are saying, "Tell it like it is. What is the truth? Why not compare? What is wrong with it?" Oh, I don't mean unkindness and belligerency, but let's be honest and sincere about truth. The Bible gives constant comparisons, In fact, the Bible in its completeness is an affirmation of truth and exposure and condemnation of error. Now, in all honest and sincerity, let's compare the genuine Bible miracles with claims of miracles by modern man today. Some years ago, the late Jack Coe of Dallas, Texas, was a remarkable example of the deception and error perpetrated upon the people. Go back to the year of 1956. Mr. Coe got in trouble about his healing in Miami, Florida, and was put in jail. He claimed that he was performing mighty miracles such as healing incurable diseases and raising the dead. During Mr. Coe's healing service in Miami, he claimed to have healed a little boy who had a bona fide case of polio for almost a year. After the healer's shouts of, "Jesus, heal this body," he then ordered, "Remove his braces." When the braces were removed, the boy fell to the floor. Later, a doctor said the braces must be replaced or the child would suffer permanent injury. Mr. Coe was sued for $225,000 damages, allegedly suffered by the boy, and the healer landed in jail. In court, Mr. Coe testified that he had enough faith to cause healing, but actually God does the healing. But in this case, the healer was unable to get God to heal the boy, so God just let Mr. Coe go to jail. In court, one of the evangelists sponsoring the healing campaign testified that the Clark boy was placed in the emergency section. He declared that Mr. Coe anointed the boy with oil, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but did not claim to have healed the boy. He gave all the credit to God, he said. Ladies and gentlemen, the tragic irony of Mr. Coe's false claims of healing was revealed in his death. Before the court suit was settled, he died of polio himself. The man who claimed to heal the sick, even claimed to heal a polio victim, died of polio himself. He could not heal himself. None of his healing brethren could heal him. Neither could they raise him from the dead. He is still dead. He will remain dead, and all that can be said or done will not change it. He has been dead now several years. It would be very convincing if some today who claim to have the miraculous power could raise him from the dead, and ladies and gentlemen, if one could raise a person from the dead, he could heal the body. And if he can heal the body, he can raise the dead. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead. I say, are you listening? If the healer could heal a fatal disease, he could raise the fatality from the dead. Mr. Coe, who died of polio, and several other healers who died from rattlesnake bites and the like, are dead and will be dead until the day of judgment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for comparison, let us look at a Bible example of genuine miraculous healing, not a fake nor pretense. In Acts 3, verses 2 through 10, will be found the divine record of the healing of the cripple in Solomon's temple. The cripple didn't have to wait in line for his turn, along with others to be healed, to get a healer to exercise his miraculous power to get God to heal him. The cripple didn't have to wait in an emergency section for some adjustments, or the pulling and the massaging of his legs, nor a hand on his head, nor a punch in his stomach, nor experience some emotional excitement from the shouting and praying of a crowd of people. The apostle simply said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." It didn't take a month, a week, or hours to get results. Of this cripple, who was genuinely and miraculously healed, it was said, "And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up, and walking and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Acts 3, verses 7 and 8. Can you imagine Peter and John praying for this cripple for weeks or even hours, then hearing the crippled man testify, "I know I'm getting better, for I feel it in my ankle bones. I'm getting better a little bit every day." No, beloved, he was healed instantly. He was healed completely, the Bible says, with perfect soundness. He was made whole in the presence of all, the Bible says. He didn't walk away with the aid of crutches. He didn't walk slowly down a ramp with his hands on a rail. The Bible says that he was walking and leaping. It was a miracle, not a pretense. Peter and John didn't have to go to jail because their miracle failed. My friends, I present to you another case of an attempt to perform a miracle which failed, although none could question the honesty and sincerity of those involved who were mistaken about the miracle of healing today. The Associated Press, Dateline, Springfield, Missouri, reported, and I quote, "Officers entered an Ozark Mountain church last night, despite protests by the congregation, carried out seriously a burned 16-year-old girl who had been held without medical attention for 24 hours. The church members had sought to heal her by prayer. The officers took Ruth Carter from the Free Pentecostal Mission Church of Mountain Grove, Missouri, sent her to a Springfield hospital in an ambulance. The girl was burned about the face and the chest and shoulders by an oil stove explosion at her home in Mountain Grove. Her widowed mother, Mrs. Cora Carter, took the injured girl to the church. About 100 members of the congregation started a nonstop effort to heal her by prayer. As she lay on a cot behind the pulpit, Sheriff Jim Barker reported. A physician entered the church yesterday morning, but said he was not allowed to treat her. County Prosecutor Gardner Moody, City Marshal Dave Hopkins, Patrol Sergeant E.E. Barkley, and Sheriff Barker entered the church last night and got the girl. When we got in and saw her lying on the cot, the sight of her made me sick, Moody said. He said she had been given no medical aid whatsoever. Barkley said the church members were in an awful state of hysteria, screaming and shouting. Another case, Dateline, Sedalia, Missouri, is headed, "Prayers for Boy in Vain. Officers ordered the removal of body. Sedalia pastor insists to the last that the youth would not die." And this news report reads as follows. The youth, believed by some members of the Full Gospel Church to be demon-possessed, collapsed at the church here last week, and the congregation prayed futilely for his life 24 hours. He had prayed with the minister and the congregation every morning and evening for several days. He collapsed at the altar of the little gray stucco church. He went into convulsions. 6 men jumped to his aid, holding his arms and legs as rigid as possible. "The demons are leaving his body," said the minister. Lawrence became inert after a few minutes. Traces of blood were apparent at his nose and ears. The congregation prayed. At night, Dr. J.E. Kennedy, a private physician, went to the church after hearing the case from neighbors. He went to the boy and saw him as he lay before the altar, his head on a pillow provided by members of the congregation. "He is dead," Dr. Kennedy said. The prayers continued all through the night. Members of the congregation went to the church in shifts. Finally, the news story continues, by threat of law, a hearse came and carried the boy away. As the hearse drove away, some said, "He'll be up and talking before he gets to Warrensburg." The boy was dead. Obviously, he is still dead. My friends, think of it. All the prayers of all the faith of the boy and all the church members did not heal him of his ailment. On the contrary, he died at the altar and stayed dead. They could no more heal him than they could raise him from the dead, and they couldn't any more raise him from the dead than they can heal his sick body. My friends, now let's look at a Bible example of miraculous power which enabled Jesus to cast out demons. This record is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 27. "And straightway there was there in the synagogue a man with unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, tearing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? A new teaching? With what authority commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they obey him? My friends, are you listening? There were no prayers for hours and hours attempting to cast out the demons. The man with the unclean spirit did not die because of the inability of Jesus to perform the miracle. The Bible says that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, tearing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. There was no failure. The miracle was complete, and it was instant. What a contrast between an actual miracle performed during the days of miracles in New Testament times and the attempt and failure to perform miracles, even by those who may have been most honest and sincere in their ability and power to get God to perform a miracle. I tell you, beloved, there is no record after the apostle received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they ever tried to heal anybody and failed. Furthermore, their healing was instant and with complete recovery. They had no failures. How different today! These modern healers of today have never had any real success. They always fail. Usually, they are careful about those whom they attempt to heal. Ladies and gentlemen, I present another case of comparative healing. United Press International Dateline, Barstow, California, August 28, 1973, reported, and I quote, Faith, healing, and an attempt to cast out demons failed Sunday to revive the dead diabetic son of a devout religious couple who threw out the 11-year-old boy's vital supply of insulin a week ago. Just before prayer meeting at a funeral home in this desert community, a boy's father, Lawrence Parker, said sternly, There won't be any funeral. No, we're not making for any because my son, Wesley, is going to come out of that coffin this afternoon. The news report continues, Prayers, hymns, and shouted exhortations continued for more than 2 hours in the small, hot chapel while the dead youngster lay with folded arms over his favorite brown sweater. Parker, his wife, and scores of fellow churchgoers thrashed their arms overhead, commanding the boy to rise from the dead, and at one point, the perspiring father ordered everyone out of the chapel who did believe Wesley would be resurrected. The diabetic youngster died a painful, lingering death Wednesday, just 2 days after his supply of life-sustaining insulin was discarded, and the boy was treated by a faith healer at the Family's Assembly of God Church. The father said, We believe in healing by faith. They believe that the preacher's laying on of the hands had cured their son of diabetes. The boy testified that he had been cured of his 5-year-old disease. The United Press International report concluded, Just before the boy's death, the parents and 3 others, including the Assembly of God pastor, Gary Nash, held a final prayer meeting during which the father commanded the demons from Wesley's body. End the quotation. My friends, does not your heart go out to honest, sincere people who are so deceived by false teaching? It is indeed regretful. Surely, no one would accuse the parents, the boy, the preacher, or members of their church of not having faith, which is usually the excuse for failure of healing a bona fide case. Beloved, hear me. Are you listening? The preacher, who obviously believed in miraculous healing, deceived those honest parents with the false teaching of faith healing. But their honesty and sincerity in the belief of the false teaching did not change the results. The child died and remains dead, much to the sorrow of his parents, who contributed to his death by taking away his life-sustaining medicine. Beloved, the parents, the preacher, the church members were at least consistent in their belief. Not only did they attempt to heal the boy by prayer, faith, and laying on of the hands, they attempted to raise him from the dead. It is evident that they remembered the words of Jesus who said, Heal the sick, raise the dead, in the same verse, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. but all their efforts combined failed, because no man on earth today can perform a miracle. If one could heal the sick, he could raise the dead.